We believe that being a defender requires more than building shooting skills on a range. It's also a development of the heart, mind, body, and spirit. Join us as we explore what it truly means to be a defender in your training and in your everyday life. Welcome to Defenders Live. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Defenders Live tonight. I am your host, Laura Thorson, and I'm so glad to be with you again on a Wednesday evening. As always, Adam Winch is in the background, founder of Defenders USA, and he may be chiming in from time to time, maybe not. We don't know. It's always a surprise, but we appreciate his help in behind the scenes. If you want to learn more about Defenders USA or about Adam or myself or any of the other instructors at Defenders USA, please go to defenders-usa.com. I'm so glad that you're all here, and we're going to have a fun time tonight. I've got a really fun guest on tonight that I think you're really going to enjoy. She's a ball of energy, and but also an expert in her field, and I'm really happy to bring her on. Her name is Amy Langdon of Langdon Tactical. I do have a little tidbit of the week that I want to run by you guys. And I want to talk about a couple of things that are on my heart this week for various reasons. But the first one being me learning the hard way, as I usually do. You guys know me well enough now. You know I'm pretty stubborn. I learn most things the hard way, right? But especially as we talk tonight with Amy about health and fitness, there's a couple of things I want you to keep in mind. And the first is, as much as many of us are type A hard-pushing people in business and in life, I want to remind you that sometimes, not always, but sometimes, pushing harder is not always the best idea. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. And you have to know the wisdom, have the wisdom to know the difference, right? And when I say pushing harder, I don't mean just in the gym. I mean in whatever you're doing. So it could be in your business, or it could be pushing harder on your kids. It could be pushing harder on yourself to do better or be better. And of course, we all want to do better and be better, but there is a time and a place for pushing harder. And we need to remember that there's also a time for rest. And rest is really important. In fitness, working out and resting are equally important, but many people forget this and they work out constantly without any rest. Rest is where those muscles repair, and that's what builds strength. Let me say that again. Rest is necessary in order to build strength. Some of you need to hear that. Maybe I needed to hear that this week too. I've talked to a few people this week that seem to have a hard time finding rest. And many people right now are in a perpetual state of grinding, pushing, or running. And I've learned, usually the hard way, that there is a time for everything. And that balance is not just important, it's vital to the livelihood of your family, to the livelihood of your business, and to yourself. I want you to remember this. The Bible talks about this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." Verses 1 through 8 of that chapter have helped me to remember that there is a time for everything. Never resting physically, emotionally, or spiritually will eventually leave you bankrupt in those areas. It's guaranteed, guys. We all know this is true, but do we really give this the balance and attention, give balance the attention and focus that it needs? The great thing about truth is that when we hear it, we know it's the truth because it resonates with us on a deeper level. I want to remind you to trust in that tonight. The second reminder for you tonight is equally as important, and that is that comparison is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. I see examples of this all the time. And on the range, sometimes I just want to shake people because I'll see people who are doing really well and they're really killing it on the range. And then I see other people who end up being intimidated, or they're less experienced shooters, and they start to shrink back because they realize they're not at the level of these other people. And they take that to heart, and it shows in their confidence level. Guys, what I want you to remember is that you're running your own race here. You have your own goals, and you're on your own journey. So whether that's shooting or fitness or business or just being happy in your everyday lives, play your own game and focus on your own goals. You cannot compare your happiness and your goals and your journey to others. It will not help you grow, at least not in a healthy way. Now, don't get me wrong. Being inspired by others is a wonderful thing. And that is something that we all need more of. But when you're constantly thinking the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, you will lose sight of the blessings right in front of your face if you're not careful. So we're all at different places in our lives and we're in different chapters. And it's important for you to think about goals and what makes sense for you right now. I want you to keep that in mind. Remember that comparison is the thief of joy, and only you have the power to choose whether or not your joy is robbed from you. So choose to go down a path that gives you the best chance of success for your joy, not someone else's. And that's my tidbit of the week. I hope that helps someone out there tonight, okay? All right, so let's move on to our special guest tonight, Amy Langdon of Langdon Tactical. So I have a short little intro here that I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to run a clip that I have of Amy that I think it'll be fun to see her in action and to see what Amy's all about. So in the past, we've had guests on that have spoken to the areas of Defender's mission, which is to build people up to become better defenders in all areas of their lives, right? You've heard me say that before. So rather than only talking about guns and tactical stuff and what we call the defense of life, right? We also want to bring on people who can help us in defense of our family and finances, defense of our mind. And tonight we're going to be talking about defending our health and well-being, because our health and well-being is so, so, so important. And we're going to talk about what role does health and fitness have, and what role does that play in a defender's lifestyle and our defender's journey? And Amy's going to help us with this question. So Amy is passionate about fitness and has 3 CrossFit training certifications and is also a tactical games athlete. And so I'm going to see if I can figure out how to run this video real quick. And then we're going to formally introduce Amy. So stand by here if I can get this to run.
What is not fun about getting dirty? I think a lot of people hear tactical games or firearms and they immediately think law enforcement, tactical, military, federal. And there are so many people here that are not. There are so many everyday civilians just learning, growing, and having fun. And I think that it's a fantastic personal challenge to just try something new. Training for the tactical games, despite not having a tactical background, is certainly something that anybody can do. You're taking 2 skills and then you're combining them. Learning your fitness, developing your strength, pushing yourself to a place where maybe you're uncomfortable, and then your ability to control your heart rate in a high adrenaline situation to get into a position of shooting. I absolutely love the tactical games. The community is absolutely fantastic. The people here are so welcoming. They are so nice and so helpful. And it is so fun to watch people take that next step to push themselves. Competition in general, when you're next to somebody who is performing at your level or better, it's making you push yourself to that next level. And I think that this competition forces that. Tactical games forces that from the firearms perspective, for sure. And from the fitness perspective, it's pushing you a little bit heavier or a little bit faster or a little bit higher, depending on the movement. And that in itself makes people realize that they can do more and take that back with them to push themselves harder on their own. Competing in games has definitely given me more confidence with my firearms manipulation, control. The biggest place that it's helped me is in the educational component for Discover when it comes to firearms and fitness, understanding and being more comfortable with what I can do with my firearm. There are a lot of people taking firearms ownership more seriously, from training to resources to educating themselves on what they can do. I think that the tactical games can help people who are passionate about firearms ownership. It's a fun way to train and become more proficient as a firearms owner and shooter. If you haven't competed in the tactical games and it's something that you're interested in, the only way that you're going to push yourself is to go outside of your comfort zone. Get comfortable being uncomfortable, because it's going to help you build your own confidence in your firearms control, manipulation, and knowing what you can do. It's going to help you in your fitness confidence, and it's just going to help push you to that next level.
All right. So without further ado, let's bring on Amy Langdon. Amy, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah, we're going to have so much fun tonight. So let's start at the beginning, because not everyone knows who you are. So could you talk to us about your journey to becoming an athlete and being an advocate, really, of health and fitness to others? We'd love to hear that.
So I've been an athlete my whole life. I've played sports. I'm sure my dad wished that I would have played basketball, but I didn't. I was a baton twirler, a competitive baton twirler. So people would be like, oh, like the people that are on the football field twirling and stuff. Yes, that was me. That was my sport and what I did. And I got to really learn individual competition, some team competition, but also more about myself and how to push myself. And after I was done twirling and I was done with college, I was like, oh, I'm going to go be a marathon runner. Well, if you've ever tried running marathons, unless you're like enjoy that, that my didn't last long for me. Well, good for her. I applaud all runners that want to run for a very long time. I trained for my last one pushing a stroller, and then got to the actual event and was like, yeah, I feel great. And I got to mile 21 and I was like, oh, I can't do this. So after that is kind of when I found strength training. And knowing what I know now, I wish I would have found strength training when I was 10 years old, because I think it would have made so much of a difference. And so my background of athlete and fitness has been kind of self-inflicted of desires and things that I want to do. And now it's been coaching and competing, or just working out as a sanity measure to keep myself sane.
So now we know why you do it.
What I guess, right? That's what I joke about. No, but I really love it. And I mean, your whole intro was fantastic on finding balance in life and all of the things that contribute to our health and wellness. And it's mindset, it's rest, it's balance, it's effort. I mean, it is pushing yourself, right? Mm-hmm. There have to be so many of those different levels. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I have found that roller coaster on fitness and nutrition, and kind of found a jive for where that fits in my life.
Yeah. And so also tell everybody too, you're a part of Langdon Tactical. So you've got the gun thing going and the fitness thing going, right? Your husband is a trainer, a gun trainer, and you're a fitness trainer. Is that right?
Yes, that would be fair to say. I am not a gun trainer. I mean, sometimes I do, but I prefer to not refer to myself as a gun trainer. We run Langdon Tactical, which is a products and a training and education business. We have two avenues for that business. One is products and one is more education. And I think we're going to talk about some of that in a little bit, but we own and run that company. And then I'm a mom. I have a almost 9-year-old boy. Aww. And he is hilarious and keeps me on my toes all the time. And he too is a little athlete. It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's talk about, as it relates to the everyday concealed carrier, right? Because a lot of the people watching this show are watching because it's Defenders Live and it has something to do with gun training, right? So let's talk about the elephant in the room question. Why is health and fitness so important for the everyday concealed carrier?
I love this question so much. So being on the business side, I really became passionate about health and fitness as it pertains to the concealed carrier, because I believe that the mindset for both choosing to want to take your own defense or your home defense or your family defense into your own hands generally lends to a mindset of preparedness and awareness, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily a perfectionist at either level, but it is centered around a mindset of, hey, I am committing to want to be ready for something that may happen. Mm-hmm. And the biggest issue that I've had with the gun industry being on the manufacturing side and the business side, the customer service side and the sales side all the way around has been listening to a lot of people say like, oh yeah, I don't have to do this, or I don't have to work out, or, you know, I don't do deadlifts and I don't do squats. And I think that it's like everybody does squats and deadlifts in their everyday life. And we can get into that if you want me to. I don't have to.
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
It's literally centered around this mindset of like, hey, if you've made the decision to carry a firearm or have a firearm and take firearms ownership seriously, then are you also making that decision to care about your life and care about your health and care about your well-being? All of those things that you were talking about, you know, early on, people refer to it as mindset and balance, right? At the end of the day, your body, the world moves, your life moves, decisions in life move. Your body also needs to move so that it can move things around and process things so that it can refresh itself.
Yeah. And we talked about this earlier about expanding your idea of personal responsibility, because in the gun world, we talk about that all the time about personal responsibility. So I think maybe fitness should fall into that category as well, don't you?
Oh, 100%. It is disheartening to me the number of people that accept like, oh, I don't care, I'm just going to do this and justify like, yeah, I just go home and sit on my couch because I'm tired and, you know, I'm not going to do anything. And I eat pizza and I eat chips and I eat everything that I shouldn't eat. And I drink 12 cans of soda a day, but I'm going to take my firearms training so seriously. And I go to the range and I practice every day. I'm like, okay, that's great. But can we have a little bit of, if we're going to control our firearms training, can we take the same personal responsibility and apply it to our life of, hey, what am I eating? What's going into my mouth? And I'm not saying, you know, you have to be a crazy, you know, only eat healthy food person. Hey, I love me a pizza and a bag of chips too, but it's in balance, right?
Balance. There's that word again, balance.
Right. And I think that more and more people need to have a personal responsibility to care about themselves. I think that the world in its current state has caused people to sit back and point fingers and blame and add justifications or sit behind their computer. And then you get a balance of people wanting to take that next step for their own personal responsibility of, hey, you know, I kind of want to be ready for this. Well, yeah, part of your mind being ready is also your mind being healthy. And if you're not giving your body the appropriate vitamins and nutrition and food, that's energy, then your mindset isn't going to be ready, even if you think you're as prepared as you need to be with a gun.
Right.
Because are you cognitively going to be alert to make that decision? Are you going to be tired and, you know, kind of in that of like, sluggish. Oh, I'm tired and I don't feel good. Well, what did you just eat? Because it probably didn't make you feel great.
Mm-hmm. And there's a common thread too, Amy, that I've noticed between the fitness world and the gun world. And that is a lot of people are very aware. It's not like people don't understand that they should eat better and that their fitness, you know, should be taken seriously. And they don't understand that gun training is important for the defense of life. But there's that common thread between both worlds that I see where they understand that it's important, but actually taking action and signing up for the class and then showing up for the class, whatever class that is, fitness or gun training, is sometimes difficult for people. So what do you think that's about? Do you think that's a fear thing? Do you think that they just don't want to get uncomfortable? What do you think that common thread is between the gun world and the fitness world in that regard?
You know, that's a great question. In my experience, it's a series of decisions and it's a series of investment financial time, right? And not just time personally, time away from family, coordination of, you know, kids or event or work, time off of work, mm-hmm. time to practice, right? And then the spend of the product or the piece, right? Mm-hmm. That's typically on, I mean, that's on both sides, fitness and guns. And mm-hmm. then the second piece on the fitness side is always that intimidation. I mean, I guess that applies to gun too, right? But it's this intimidation.
It does, yeah.
We all set expectations for ourselves, and I believe that in the fitness realm, especially because it is so personal and individual, that when you walk into the four walls of a gym, whether it's at your house, whether it's an office in your space, or it's a, you know, Globo gym, there are so many people that have said to me, like, Amy, I can't do it. I'm so self-conscious. What if I can't do it? And then if you're having a day or you have set this expectation for yourself to perform at XYZ level and you mm-hmm. only hit LMNO, then mm-hmm. now you feel this sense of failure, or you feel this sense of rejection, or you feel this like, well, I didn't succeed today. And as a coach, it was something that I would always face at the gym. And it wasn't just a CrossFit gym. This was other gym with, you know, people from 5 years old to 65 years old. And they'd be like, oh, I can't do that. Or I don't ever want to be like that. And that's not me. Okay. That's okay. You don't mm-hmm. need to be like that just because you're walking through these doors, or just because you are trying to be a, you know, fitness advocate. Showing up and being mm-hmm. willing to your body mm-hmm. is the first step. Showing up is the first step.
I would argue showing up is the hardest step. I really think so. I think the lead up into showing up and actually showing up for a lot of people is the hardest part.
Because
they build it up in their head as something bigger than it is, and they worry about it and dread it or whatever. And again, going back to mindset, I think that's a really important point. And I think that's in comparison fitness.
Mm-hmm. As you opened that up, you said comparison early on. You know, people go compare themselves to somebody else. I only go to the range with Ernest most of the time. If I compared all of my shooting to Ernest, I would be an absolute failure. And when I do outshoot him, I'm like, wow, the Instagram needs to know I just kicked your butt in that, right?
That's awesome.
Then he's like, let's do it again. I'm like, no.
Right. Until he beats you.
He's like, my gun malfunctioned. I'm like,
what? Yeah, competition is good. Friendly competition is a good thing. I'm not saying there shouldn't be competition, but yeah, we shouldn't focus on that so much. And that's something I think that is a roadblock. It ends up being a roadblock, not only in gun training, but also in fitness as well, I would argue.
Yep, it is. And so I think that those are just, I mean, to kind of wrap all that up, I think that those are the reasons that people are just intimidated. And
yeah,
a lot of us, you know, a lot of it is not comparing yourself to other people and making that commitment to yourself of mm-hmm. here's what I'm going to do today, right? Mm-hmm. Set a goal. And maybe that goal is just, I'm committing this time to go achieve this task.
Right.
Right. And not setting an expectation that is potentially out of reach.
So what are some things then that people could do? Just something small people could start if they don't go to a gym, they're not workout kind of people, but they just want to build some strength in an everyday, like let's say they're in a home environment, they don't have all the equipment. Are there any easy things that they can do to just help start with those fundamentals right out of the gate?
Oh my gosh. Yes. There are so many programs out there that you don't even have to think about it. You can literally pay $19 a month and you can log on to Street Parking and they will give you a workout that is anywhere from 10 to 30 minutes a day. It's called Street Parking.
Okay.
It's fantastic. I can post the link here for everybody, okay. But it's fantastic. And it can literally give you a program and it's straight up for anybody. It is for people that have the equipment, that have the barbells, that have the weights, and for people that are just trying to move their body. And the one thing, I'm going to try to turn this camera. Yes, I'm in my gym garage, so judge away. But
I love it.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about is, you know, you get into a gym, you're like, oh, what can I do? What can I do? Well, I don't squat. Okay, well, here's my toilet. I have to go to the bathroom. Oh, look, you're squatting, right? Oh, I was walking and I dropped my bag. Oh, look, you just did a deadlift, right? I can't think. Most people are going to the bathroom and most people are picking stuff up off the ground.
Yeah.
and from a mobility standpoint, I mean, you know, we're washing things, we're scrubbing things, we're doing things, we're moving, we're picking up groceries. You know, groceries is the same as a farmer's carry in theory. It's a bicep curl. And so I think that the intimidation around the words is sometimes what stops people, but there are programs out there for people that are intimidated and you can do it in your own home.
Yeah.
Right. And it's amazing. And it's all the way down to like, hey, you know, I don't want to do pushups. I don't care to do a pushup, and you don't have to do any pushups. Right. But you can put your hands on a wall in a slightly elevated position like this. Right. And you can just work on building some of those basic back, shoulder, and arm muscles that will end up helping your, it will end up helping you just develop and grow all of the things, including your neck support, because a lot of people have this tech neck thing because they're stuck like this all day. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, my back hurts. Of course your back hurts because you're sitting in this position every day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's Fit to Thrive, which is by, Margot Alvarez. She's based out of Las Vegas, former CrossFit athlete. There is Street Parking, which is fantastic for all of the people that are Tech Games followers. Tristan Burris just put out a little hint today that she's starting a fitness program. Jacob Heppner is a former CrossFit athlete and active CrossFit coach, and he has several training programs for everybody that you can pick and choose and modify it. And it's awesome. Very, very diverse. So there's so many programs out there that can be catered to what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Personally, ranking it, I love Street Parking, but I love Street Parking because it fits everybody from 5 to 75. Like, it's cool. Fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
So then as far as nutrition goes, because, okay, tell me, how important is nutrition compared to fitness? Are they equal, or is one more important than the other?
So this is Amy's opinion. And I don't believe in percentages because, you know, most percentages, if you don't have factual numbers, are just, hey, I'm going to throw this at the wall and see if it sticks kind of thing. But I'm a firm believer that nutrition is the foundation and the basis of fitness. You made a comment earlier, and I don't remember exactly what you said, but you said that, you know, when you rest and recover, your muscles heal, and that's true. But when you move your body, and if you're active, you need to feed and fuel your muscles with proper nutrition. I think that nutrition is the basis of a lot of issues that people have. From discomfort to joint pain to gut issues to complaints. There's so much sugary stuff and preservatives put in stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not a perfect eater. Hey, I am not a perfect eater, but there is balance, right? And there's power in protein, getting protein into your diet. There's power in putting some veggies and fruit in your diet. You know, people think carbs and they're like bread and pasta. Fruit is carbs. Mm-hmm. So if you're eating, you know, yogurt, apples, oranges, bananas, like, that's really good carbs. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people focus on the low fat, no fat stuff. And I literally want to strangle them because the low fat, no fat stuff is what is full of preservatives because they're trying to take all the fat out of it. Right. And there's a place where that fat is really good for you. And so, I mean, this is a long component, but at a high level, I am so focused on protein and getting in my protein every day. Generally, I supplement with a protein shake at least once a day. This one's my favorite. but I was out here making it before our call.
Yeah.
So I have
you
it.
Doing that.
But you know, I tend to do that, but it's, you know, chicken, steak, beef, turkey, like whatever those meats are that can get good protein, good fat, good balance in your body is the foundation of healthy eating, because it's also filling. And then fruit is fantastic carbs, right? Bagels and English muffins and pasta, they're not bad for you. Yes, they're processed, but it's okay. Eat it. Rice, sweet potatoes, like you can eat them. Incorporate some veggies for some fiber, like
but then so don't you're go just to- basically saying like common sense eating, right? Is that kind of what you're getting at here?
I mean, but what's common sense? If you don't grow up around that,
right,
you think
right.
that running to McDonald's is normal. You think right. that, you know, a frozen pizza in the oven is better than an ordered pizza from Brooklyn V's, which Brooklyn V's is actually the best. So if you live here in Arizona, be me fan. But it's like, you could say common sense. The reality is stop drinking soda.
That's what I was just going to say. That is one thing you could start
drinking
today.
Soda.
Yeah. That one thing could change a lot of things in your nutrition, right?
100%. I've worked with a lot of people on nutrition at a very, you know, high level. And when I have conversations with them, what it boils down to that is the immediate change is 100 to 120 ounces of water a day. Consume that. Stop drinking the soda. Oh, well, I drink water, but I put my, you know, Gatorade pouch in it. Like, no, you're just giving yourself sugar. It can't be artificially sweetened water. Stay away, like back off of the sugars, back off of the cookies. Oh, but I love them so much. Fine. Don't take them away, but stop eating them every day and five times a week. Right?
Is it true that sugar is really addictive? Is that true?
I mean, I think so, but
I tend to think so too, but I'm just wondering from your professional opinion if it is or not.
Yes, it is. I mean, and it's because your brain craves more. You get this high and then your brain craves more. And what I try to tell people that are so addicted to that sugar piece is, you want to know what? If you go start working out and moving your body. And again, yes, guys, I have all these weights behind me. I know that I'm a workout nut, but sometimes I'm not. Today, I did the most lazy workout, in my opinion, some deadlifts, some push presses, little jog, little walk. Like, it was slow, but I just said to myself, go move your body. Go move your body for 30 minutes and you'll feel better. Mm-hmm. And I did.
And then you won't want the sugar as much. Is that what you're getting at?
Right.
Yeah.
Because now you have this, you're like, hey, I achieved this. And now I'm not going to go in and open a bag of Skittles and eat them. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm not going to go sit and eat cupcakes. I'm going to be like, yeah, I worked out today. I feel good. Now I'm going to make some dinner or whatever. Right. And make my breakfast.
I found too, that when I work out that my body craves the things I need when I work out. So I don't know if that's the right way to do it or not, lead with the working out, so to speak, but I want water and I want like good, clean, nutritional food. I don't want all the garbage whenever I'm working out. It just doesn't sound good.
Yeah. I think that there is just a, when people are in the mindset of, hey, I'm going to move my body to try to take the step that I need to take to work out, it makes you think about when you open that fridge door, when you walk into the pantry, right? Mm-hmm. And never grocery shop. You know, one of my favorite things to tell people is never grocery shop when you're hungry. Cause you're like, everything looks good.
Yeah.
Give it to me. Right. Versus like planning out, hey, I'm going to try to make these three or four healthy meals this week. And here's what those are going to be. Consistent, or here's what they're going to have. And then I'm going to be consistent because I'm going to double this batch so that I have the meal that I'm making tonight. And now I have leftovers for lunch or dinner tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, I don't do leftovers. Well, that's why you're not healthy then, because you run to the Quick Trip or the Taco Bell or the Wendy's or whatever, and you're just not, you're not committing yourself to making a good decision.
And you're spending more money, quite frankly, aren't you?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That is another thing. People, if you sit down and look, people will be like, oh, I can't afford a gym membership. But then they will order lunch every single day. And I'm like, so you can't afford $19 a month or $60 a month or even $150 a month if you're fancy and you want to go to Lifetime Fitness, depending on where you live. Okay, well, let's look at your spend habits. What thing did you order on Amazon that you didn't need? How many times did you order out because you were like, oh, crap. Yes, Christopher Brady, there is an app and I can post the information, but it's, you have to go online to streetparking.com. But oh my gosh, I distracted myself and I just said I wasn't
gonna do it. You're talking about being able to afford the gym. You need to take an honest look.
Yeah, like if you look at what you're spending, you actually can. And most people can find $19 a month, right? And when you find that and you're paying for it, then you have to do it. I think that a lot of people, if they have access to a gym or a fitness program and they're not paying for it, somebody's giving it to them, they're not committed to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to have a personal investment in it. You have to be honest with yourself. That's a huge thing, and not make excuses for the sake of making excuses. So, I think all of what you just said, all of the above, totally agree with. And it seems like common sense to a lot of people, but there is a leap from knowing something and actually doing it.
And when you start to do it, you just feel better. You generally feel better.
Generally. Yep. Yep. For sure. I want to jump because we are almost to the Q&A portion of the live. This is blown by already. So I want to take some time and talk about LTT Discover. Can you tell people what that is and how that came about?
Yeah. So Ernest and I, as I mentioned, my husband had his company Langdon Tactical, and we kind of restarted it here when we moved to Arizona, and it's a product business. And one of the things that we kept hearing about and running into, or I kept hearing about running into, was this tactical, militaristic, and law enforcement lifestyle. And it, you know, Ernest was always putting the pressure on me to go shoot and be a shooter and carry and, you know, be a responsible firearms owner. And everything, all the direction, all the advice that he was giving and the instruction was, okay, well, you're going to do this and you have to change this and you have to change that and you have to dress like this. And I was like, whoa, I am not wearing a plaid shirt every day. I am sure as hell not wearing tactical pants. I am not going to start carrying all this other crap around my waist. And that, like, you guys saw how I dress, right? Mm-hmm. And so we really started to evolve and I started to ask questions and I was kind of like anti-tactical there for a while because it didn't just stop at how are you going to carry. It was on the range. And I went to a couple classes and I had some great instructors and I had some instructors that I just didn't resonate with. But a lot of it revolved around like, you have to have a 1.5 second draw and you have to shoot in a 2-inch dot. And if you can't do that, you have no business carrying a firearm. And why did I spend so much money to come here? Right. And a lot of people, as I talk to people in the industry and kind of farmed out about education, people are intimidated by the tactical piece, no different than fitness, no different than the tactical games component. And they're like, oof, that's not me. I don't want to be that. I just want to be this. And I found that there were not a lot of resources that were, you know, super helpful, quick and to the point on discussing the topics. In addition to, some of it was women and kid focused, and it was a lot of moms, and they were like, I can't have a gun because I'm a mom. And so coming full circle, we developed LTT Discover, which is a free educational platform. It is not monetized. We have been the, you know, investors in it. We have worked with a lot of people to bring them into what it is, and really well-respected people in the industry to also help teach and inform and educate in a non-tactical, non-militaristic way. Mm-hmm. So there's like 80 videos branching from, oof, do I need a firearm? Or I'm thinking about carrying, but I don't know where to start. Tessa from Armed and Styled, John and Sarah Houtman from Filster are in several of those videos. There's a lot of people that are incorporated into it, but it's basically just a platform of education to help you talk to your kids about it, to talk to yourself, and just give you a place to learn. We've incorporated Lucky Gunner. Chris Baker did some ammo stuff for us. So it's, I mean, I'm biased, but we've gotten some really good feedback on the videos that have been helpful, and we have more coming. So if you're trying to make those next decisions, or you're curious, it's a resource there for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It is well done. It's a really well done series of videos. And one of the things I liked the most about it is that you, and on the video that you sent me too, is you guys talk about meeting people where they're at and how in the gun world, a lot of the times, depending on the trainer that you go train with, you might feel like they're not able to meet you where you're at because maybe you're more of a beginner shooter and they're used to teaching more advanced shooters. So I like that idea and that concept because I tend to train the newer shooters and I tend to go into the basics and fundamentals. And a lot of the people that come into my classes may not have even ever shot a gun before. So I think that the concept of meeting people where they're at is so, so important. And I love that you guys are able to help people wherever they are. That's great.
That's it. You do you, and we're going to help you get there.
Right. Exactly. So we've got just enough time here for some questions, guys. So if you guys have any questions that you want to ask Amy, put those in the comments now. We're almost finished up for this live. So this one went by really fast. I knew it would because Amy's a hoot. So put those in the comments.
So Laura, there was a tactical games question from Christopher.
Yes, I have that queued up, ready to go right here.
Yeah. So how can a beginner get into fitness and get into the tactical games? There are age groups and then there are divisions. So there's, you know, the red dot tactical division, there's the intermediate division, there's a 40 women's and men's. They just added the women's 40 plus division. I still can't go there, maybe soon. Then there's a men's 50 plus division and it's literally for, you know, beginners all the way up to the elite, heavy, crazy, add in strongman for every event and then go shoot and be crazy. And I did that for the women for the last 2 years. But their website is thetacticalgames.com and the divisions are there. Any of you can shoot me a message or a note. I will give me grace in responding to you, but I will definitely get back to you. I think Laura was going to put up some of our Instagram tags, so you can definitely shoot us a DM or find me on our business page.
Is it the same as the YouTube channel, Amy? Because I only have the YouTube channel one up there.
Yeah, it's at LinkedIn Tactical, and then my personal one, which is more of like the fitness, health, nutrition, hiking stuff, is just at Amy_hikeliftshoot.
Okay. And then there's a question about the name of the protein shake that you like.
Yeah, I just sent the link to Adam, but it's from First Form.
Okay.
And so I don't know if Adam or you can post that in the comments, but he can post that. And I can, if anybody has any nutrition questions of basically, you know, basic getting started of thinking about it, you know, definitely reach out, ask questions. I'm happy to help. I'm a big proponent of the vitamins, the microfactor, and the level one. Those are the two things that I swear by and have used for several years.
Awesome. So what was the deal with street parking? You said that you have to go on the website first.
Yeah. So if you go to streetparking.com, there's a ton of information there, but you can just sign up really quickly. We're not affiliated with them. I know I have met Miranda and her husband and talked to them about, kind of their goals and their mindset. They're pro 2A people, just really good people with a really great program. So it's streetparking.com.
Okay. And then one more question here. For the aging female who is out of shape, what do you recommend as to how to not hurt oneself when starting strength training? Every time I start working out, I pull something.
You pull something. You hurt yourself. Yes. And that's generally because either you're pushing yourself too hard or to a level of, hey, I want to be here. So then within a short period of time or almost immediately, you're like, well, I'll just do this. And then you probably can't walk for 2 days, about 24 hours after you're done with that workout. You have to start easy and you have to start slow. A lot of people just need to start walking and moving. And then as you're adding in those weights, just start low weight, high rep. I think one of the biggest misconceptions of strength training is people try to go heavy fast, and it's going to be better if you're staying in a high reps scheme. And what that means is, you're going to do anywhere from like 8 to 20, depending on the weight and the movement reps for that set. Right. And so if you're going to combine some leg work or some arm work, think about implementing 3 to 5 sets of 10 to 20 each. Okay. And try not to go beyond that as you're starting, because then you get into this position of you're doing way too much.
Mm-hmm. And are there any particular things that you can speak to people about, like at home, like I said, can they just find something laying around that they can use for farmer's carry? Mm-hmm. Should they do sit-ups and push-ups and planks? And what are some things they can do?
Back to my gym.
Demonstrate.
Right? So pretend like this is a chair, right? Okay. This is a chair from your kitchen or your couch or whatever. All you have to do is literally just sit down, focus on pressing your feet, your heels, and your toes. Can you hear me okay? I just realized I walked away from my mic.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Pressing your heels and your toes into the ground and standing up, squeezing your butt and everything at the top, and then sit back down, right? And do that 10, 20 times. If you're not feeling that in your butt, your thighs, or your calves, you're doing it wrong, right? and then, with push-ups, so there's kind of a squat thing, push-ups, get against a chair or get against something and elevate. Sorry, you can't really see that, but elevate. I'll try to do this one-handed. I don't know if I'll be able to do it though. And just come down slow and then come up. I cheated. I use the ground. There's a basic start there. There's grabbing a chair and just elevating to a point where you can, and just starting real low and slow, right? Mm-hmm. If you've got a gym bag, I had so many friends during COVID, they were like, I don't have any equipment. There's a Home Depot, grab a cinder block, go outside. Do you have some rocks? Put some rocks in a backpack, put that backpack on, go for a walk. Is it going to be super comfortable? No, it's not. Grab a can of soup or, something that has a little bit of weight. It doesn't have to be much. And you can do I, T, and Y. And you can do those in each hand for 20 reps, and you'll get a great shoulder and arm workout and burn, and you'll feel good, right?
That's awesome.
Sit-ups, some people talk about sit-ups or not sit-ups. You can do them, but just doing sit-ups aren't going to give you abs. Abs start in the kitchen. Abs don't happen in the gym.
There's a quotable right there. There's a quotable.
So yeah, there's so many different modifications, and that's probably one of the biggest questions that we get after I post a goofy workout video or a serious workout video is, hey, I don't do that. How could I modify this movement? Mm-hmm. And there's just so many things, and there's bands. Where are my bands? There's bands that you can buy on Amazon, right? And there's so many things that you can have this under my feet, right? And you can start doing presses
with just a band. You can tie this to a rig and start doing shoulder presses or rows, right? But you're doing it with a band. If you're doing it with a high rep scheme, you're still gonna get great strength training in, right?
That's awesome.
So taking that misconception of strength training with heavy weights and applying it to, you know, just everyday weight and higher rep is huge for a lot of people. Now I'm sweating.
You work too hard, Amy.
Apparently. Oh, sorry, guys.
All right. Let me see if there's any other questions. We've got a lot of comments tonight and a few questions, but I don't see any more that we haven't addressed already. But that is great to see some of those things in action. I wish you had like a workout YouTube channel. Do you?
No. No, you can watch the workout videos that happen are generally on our Instagram. And if you want to see Ernest dance because you're an Ernest Langdon shooting fan, once in a while, there's a dancing video of Ernest.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Well, let's wrap up tonight. Is there anything else that you want people to know, Amy, before we wrap up?
I would just love to leave all of you with kind of this thought of, if you're thinking about fitness and nutrition, then think about it of, I'm going to reframe my brain in the actions that I take every day. So what does that mean? Well, what is the mindset that I have today? Am I being nice to myself? And do I have a focused, motivated approach? What is the expression that I'm going to use? And then how am I going to approach my day? Right? And that approach involves the decisions that you're going to make, the attitude that you're going to have, and the way that you are going to handle the decisions that need to be made that day. I think just having an open mind and developing your habits so that you do expect more from yourself is going to help all of us make better personal decisions when it comes to fitness and firearms.
Awesome. I love that. What a great guest you've been, Amy, and so much fun. I so appreciate
Thank you for having me. Of course, no problem.